From Stoic Wisdoms, 3 questions that stop overthinking immediately. This post is free, but the premium archive has been growing steadily with new in-depth posts every week. If you've been meaning to explore the deeper material, well, now is a good time. Annual subscriptions are currently 25% off. Press here to explore the full premium archive. Epictetus was born into slavery. He spent decades owned by another human being, his labor, his time, his body, all subject to someone else's authority. He had no control over his circumstances, no power to change his situation, no choice about how his days unfolded. Yet he became one of history's most influential philosophers precisely because that total powerlessness forced him to understand something most people never grasp. The vast majority of what occupies our mental energy exists entirely outside our jurisdiction. His central teaching was almost absurdly simple. Some things are up to us, most things are not. Everything you're anxious about falls into one of these categories. The source of your suffering is that you're treating things that aren't up to you as if they are, spending your limited cognitive capacity trying to control variables you have no authority over. This insight collapses into 3 questions, not metaphorical questions or contemplative prompts, but diagnostic tools with actual answers that reveal whether what you're thinking about is even worth thinking about. These questions work on whatever is currently consuming your mental energy. They don't make the problem disappear, but they reveal whether you're working on a problem or just suffering about a situation. The specificity of right now matters, not eventually or once I figure out the perfect approach or after I've thought about it more. Right now, in this moment, is there an action available to you that would address what you're worried about? If yes, the question becomes, will I take that action? If you will, take it. If you won't, stop thinking about the thing until you're willing to act. Thinking without acting when action is available is just anxiety disguised as productivity. If no, if there's literally nothing you can do right now, then continuing to think about it serves no function. You're spending mental energy in a domain where you have no power. This is like a city council spending hours debating federal tax policy. They have opinions, they can have detailed discussions, but their deliberation changes nothing because they lack authority in that domain. Epictetus watched people exhaust themselves worrying about things they couldn't affect. Would the emperor make this decision or that one? Would the harvest be good? Would reputation hold or decay? They'd spend hours analyzing variables entirely outside their influence and wonder why they felt so powerless. They were powerless and their thinking wasn't making them less so. It was just making them suffer about their powerlessness. But this is where people get stuck. They confess they can't do anything right now, then immediately continue worrying. Why? Because worrying feels like doing something. Anxiety creates the illusion of engagement. If you're thinking hard about a problem, you feel like you're working on it, even when you're just replaying the same scenarios with different emotional flavors. The thinking becomes a substitute for action, and over time, you lose the ability to tell the difference between working on something and worrying about something. This is where the second question becomes essential. 3 temporal categories, 3 completely different relationships to control. What happened is complete. It exists in a past that cannot be altered. You can learn from it. You can process your response to it. You can decide how to move forward given that it occurred. But you cannot change it. Spending cognitive energy trying to make it different, replaying it with alternate endings, imagining what you should have done instead. None of this has any purchase on a past that's already fixed. What might happen is hypothetical. It hasn't occurred and might never occur. You can prepare for likely scenarios, but you cannot control whether they arrive. Most anxiety about the future isn't preparation. It's suffering in advance about outcomes that may never manifest. You're experiencing the pain of imagined scenarios as if they're real while using zero of that energy to actually prepare for them. What's happening is present. This is the only domain where you have potential authority. Even here, your control is limited to your responses, not to the situation itself. But at least you're working with something real rather than with completed pasts or hypothetical futures. Marcus Aurelius governed an empire during plague, war, betrayal, and political conspiracy. He could have spent every moment anxious about what might happen next, replaying past failures, imagining future disasters. Instead, his private writings show someone ruthlessly sorting his concerns by temporal category. Past events got examined for lessons then released. Future possibilities got assessed for preparation then set aside. Present challenges got his full attention because present was the only place where his actions could influence outcomes. He wasn't naturally calm. His notebooks reveal someone prone to anxiety, frustration, and fear. But he trained himself to ask when is this happening, and adjust his mental energy accordingly. Past and future got minimal processing. Present got maximum engagement. This temporal sorting is critical because your mind doesn't make these distinctions automatically. It treats past regret, present difficulty, and future anxiety as if they're all happening now, all requiring your attention simultaneously. They're not. Most of what feels urgent is either already complete or hasn't arrived yet. Neither category deserves the energy you're giving it. But even properly sorted concerns can still consume more energy than they deserve, which brings us to the third question. These look similar but lead to completely different places. Problem solving has a structure. Identify variables you control, take action on those variables, assess results, adjust approach. Solving problems uses energy efficiently because it's directed toward influence. Seeking certainty has no structure because certainty about outcomes you don't control is impossible. You cannot make yourself certain about how someone will respond, whether an opportunity will work out, what the long-term consequences of your choices will be. Attempting to achieve certainty about these things is like attempting to achieve flight by thinking really hard about physics. The effort is real, but the goal is impossible. Most overthinking is an attempt to achieve certainty about uncontrollable outcomes. You replay conversations looking for the perfect phrasing that would guarantee the response you want. You analyze situations from every angle looking for the approach that ensures success. You research endlessly looking for the information that will make your decision risk-free. The uncertainty doesn't yield because the thinking was never going to resolve it. Epictetus had students who would spend hours anxious about whether they'd be appointed to positions they desired. He'd ask, "Can you control the appointment?" "No." "Can you control your reaction to either being appointed or not being appointed?" "Yes." "Then why are you spending all your energy in the domain where you have no power instead of in the domain where you have complete power?" The students would recognize the logic, agree with it, then continue worrying about the appointment. The pattern was so consistent that Epictetus realized something most philosophers missed. Understanding what you should do and being able to do it are completely different capabilities. Knowing these three questions doesn't automatically stop overthinking, but it reveals what your overthinking is actually doing, which creates the possibility of stopping most of what you're